Hey, welcome, dear friends. Great to be with you on the Jordan Rich Show, WBZ and WCCO, the frigid Midwest. We're a lot balmier here. It's 25 degrees after yesterday's chill. It's a very comfortable 25 degrees. I got to tell you, I was on the road a lot yesterday. I took my son to Kennedy Airport. He should be landing just about now in merry old England, where it's now, what, 5 hours, 6 o'clock? He'll be landing about an hour. In any event, I was on the road from 11:30, and we drove to New York. I got there at about 3:15, 3:20, and didn't spend too much time because they won't let you park. You have to just do the drop-off, and we did the hugs and the goodbyes, and he's all set. And then I drove all the way back home, and I got home by 7, just in time to have a little nosh and have a little nap, and here I am. Man, I feel like a limo guy. This is what limo drivers do. No tip on my part, unfortunately. But it's great to be with you, and good luck to Andrew. He's going to have a great time in merry old England. And Dad will have to visit him a little bit later on. Don't forget, jordanrich.com. That's my website. You can check out a whole bunch of stuff. I just wrote a new column for the first one of the new year on gifts we give. And we have to give gifts to ourselves as well. But right now, a gift of another author joining us, Mary Lawlor, L-A-W-L-O-R. And she's written a memoir called Fighter Pilot's Daughter, Growing Up in the 60s and the Cold War. It's terrifically written. Mary, hello. How are you?
Hello, Jordan.
What's the temperature where you are, Mary? I've got to know, roughly.
Let's see. I don't have a thermometer anywhere near me, but I think it must be about 20 or
okay.
below.
You're a little south of me, aren't you? Where are you?
I'm in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm a few hours south.
All right. Well, anyway, nice to welcome you to the program here. And you were recommended to me, I think, by my friend Bathsheba Monk.
That's right. That's correct.
Who's a very fine novelist in her own right. All right.
Absolutely.
So, Mary, Fighter Pilot's Daughter, you know, I couldn't help but think, not that there's some parallels to it, I couldn't help but think as I was reading it of the great Santini.
Right.
Do people tell you that?
Yes. I've been hearing about that ever since that book came out. Whenever I tell anybody that I grew up in a military family, they say, "Oh, was it like the great Santini?" You know, and there are various answers to that question.
Yeah, there's the great Santini, and then there's Mary's story, a different story, different parents, but still the idea that it takes place around the same time is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, of course, Pat Conway just came out with a second sort of follow-up book to that. I think it's called The Death of Santini, and it's been making the rounds a lot. It's interesting that that comes up at the beginning because it's one of the reasons that I wrote the book, and it's one of the things I feel so strongly about, that the Santini and, of course, the character that Pat Conway made is, as by his own admission, a real transcript of his actual father, you know,
yes,
even though
yes.
those books are novels.
Right.
But, the figure that he draws of his father is this incredibly strict, incredibly order, this control freak and a half. Mm-hmm. And the book that just came out, one of the reasons I mentioned it, is because he makes it clear that his father was absolutely pretty monstrously abusive
yes.
to the kids. And
yes.
and so, I mean, that whole story of Santini ends up having abuse as so much of the focus. And I think it kind of misrepresents military fatherhood in some ways. You know, I mean, certainly because our fathers dealt with violence professionally and for any number of other reasons, perhaps, you would find soldier fathers who were abusive, but it wasn't the norm by any means. And Santini, as he appeared in the first book, may have been a kind of person that was familiar to a lot of military families, you know, having the kids line up and take orders for tasks they had to do and stuff like that. But most of our fathers, I would venture to say, were not, you know, the monsters that this
no,
guy turns out.
No, your father is the way you describe your father and your mother, two very, very interesting, and I say that with all due respect, interesting people because they bring to the story, a real story, people who have backgrounds, people who have faith, and it's a struggle to raise kids, especially girls, for
right.
them. We'll talk about that. It's a struggle to raise kids when you're constantly on the move.
Yeah.
And so forth. So let's delve into this. And the reason I'm thrilled you're on with me is because we have a lot of listeners around the country and beyond who have some connection either to the era or to the idea of being part of a military family. Let's face it. And today
yeah.
there are many of them. So right. so you're one of, is it four girls?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And you're not the youngest, but you're right in there. And
right in the middle.
Right in the middle. And, of course, the picture on the front of the book says a lot. It's a little postcard picture type thing, little, Polaroid type picture that's basically you and two of your sisters dressed up in pajamas but also wearing dad's helmets.
Right.
And isn't that indicative of what went on at that point?
We're wearing his Korean War gear.
Right. Now, tell me about your father. First of all, he wasn't always he changed branches, didn't he?
Right. He was in the Marine Corps. First, before that, he went to the Merchant Marine Academy in 1942, and from there he went into the Navy and learned how to fly, and then he went to the Marine Corps, and in 1956 he shifted over to the Army. And then he spent the rest of his career in the Army.
There's a lot of history here beyond the story of your family. And one of the things I didn't know really much about was where the Marine Corps was in that era. And people just think Marines first and foremost today. But in that era, post-war, post-World War II, the Marines were kind of given short shrift to a certain extent, weren't they?
Yeah, they were in some ways. I think Truman had certain attitudes towards the Marines that I can't say I understand in any kind of deep way, but there are stories about his having little patience with them. He thought of them as the police force of the Navy, and when they kept asking for, representation on the Joint Chiefs of Staff and, increases in budgets and so forth, he got very irritated at them. And
right.
There are lots of stories about that, but they were, the Marine Corps goes way back in U.S. history. And in 1956, when my father left them, they were still kind of trimming back.
They were, yes.
The buildup of the Korean War and a reduction in forces was in effect.
Right. This is during the Eisenhower days, too.
Yeah.
Mary Lawler is the author of Fighter Pilot's Daughter. We're going to get into the story in more detail, of course, as we go along. But your father, as a professional soldier aviator, really spans three wars, doesn't he?
Yeah, right. He was in he fought in the Korean War in 1952, and then he was in, he was in World War II, the Korean War in 1952, and then he was in Vietnam. He served in Vietnam twice, in 1962 to 63, and then from 67 to 68.
Right. And here's a gentleman who is also raising four daughters, has a wife, of course, and the sacrifice, we don't pay enough attention to our troops today and what they go through and their families, but the sacrifice at that point meant a lot of moving around, didn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Lots and lots of moving. I went to 14 different schools by the time I graduated from high school. And, some of those moves were within the same place. Like, we lived in lots of different places lots of different houses in Miami when my father was at Marine Corps Air Station in Miami. Several places in Alabama and so forth. And my parents moved a few times before I started school and then after I graduated from high school and went off to college. So we probably moved around 20 times. That's very common for military kids.
Oh, absolutely.
And
people don't realize how, if people like me, I've been stationary my whole life. I've been in the same house now for 30 years,
wow.
or 25 years anyway, and people don't realize what it's like to uproot with kids and go from school to school and new friends, old friends. It's really a challenge, man.
Yeah, it was really complicated, really. My mother would have to pack up, every teacup, every picture. We really knew how to do that after a point. We knew the drill.